This isn't the first time the electrics have shorted. But last time the lights snapped back on again within minutes. The guests returned to their dancing, their drinking, their pill-popping, their screwing, their eating, their laughing, and forgot it ever happened. How long has it been now? In the dark, it's difficult to tell. A few minutes? 15? 20? They're beginning to feel afraid. This darkness feels somehow ominous, intent, as though anything could be happening beneath its cover. Finally, the bulbs flicker back on. Whoops and cheers from the guests. They're embarrassed now about how the lights find them, crouched as though ready to fend off an attack. They laugh it off. They almost manage to convince themselves that they weren't frightened. The scene illuminated in the marquee's three adjoining tents should be one of celebration, but it looks more like one of devastation. In the main dining section, clots of wine spatter the laminate floor. A crimson stain spreads across white linen. Bottles of champagne cluster on every surface, testament to an evening of toasts and celebrations. A forlorn pair of silver sandals peeks from beneath a tablecloth. The Irish band begin to play again in the dance tent, a rousing ditty to restore the spirit of celebration. Many of the guests hurry in that direction, eager for some light relief. If you were to look closely at where they step, you might see the marks where one barefoot guest has trodden in broken glass and left bloody footprints across the laminate, drying to a rusty stain. No one notices. Other guests drift and gather in the corners of the main tent, nebulous as leftover cigarette smoke. Loath to stay, but also loath to step outside the sanctuary of the marquee while the storm still rages. And no one can leave the island. Not yet. The boats can't come until the wind dies down. In the centre of everything stands the huge cake. It has appeared whole and perfect before them for most of the day, its train of sugar foliage glittering beneath the lights. But only minutes before the lights went out, the guests gathered around to watch its ceremonial disemboweling. Now the deep red sponge gapes from within. Then from outside comes a new sound. You might almost mistake it for the wind, but it rises in pitch and volume until it is unmistakable. The guests freeze. They stare at one another. They are suddenly afraid again, more so than they were when the lights went out. They all know what they are hearing. It is a scream of terror.
The day before. Aoife, the wedding planner. Nearly all of the wedding party are here now. Things are about to crank into another gear. There's the rehearsal dinner this evening with the chosen guests, so the wedding really begins tonight. I've put the champagne on ice ready for the pre-dinner drinks. It's vintage Bollinger, 8 bottles of it, plus the wine for dinner and a couple of crates of Guinness, all as per the bride's instructions. It is not for me to comment, but it seems rather a lot. They're all adults, though. I'm sure they know how to restrain themselves. Or maybe not. That best man seems a bit of a liability. All of the ushers do, to be honest. And the bridesmaid, the bride's half-sister, I've seen her on her solitary wanderings of the island, hunched over and walking fast like she's trying to outpace something. You learn all the insider secrets doing this sort of work. You see the things no one else is privileged to see. All the gossip that the guests would kill to have. As a wedding planner, you can't afford to miss anything. You have to be alert to every detail. All the smaller eddies beneath the surface. If I didn't pay attention, one of those currents could grow into a huge riptide, destroying all my careful planning. And here's another thing I've learned. Sometimes the smallest currents are the strongest. I move through the Follies downstairs rooms, lighting the blood.